Welcome to Podcast Radio Channel 5000, the podcast that's a complete mashup of useless information. I'm Josh Ingram, and with me as always is my heroic co-anchor, Jesse Jordan. Jesse, what do you got for us today?
Well, today we're doing Rebootquils. Rebootquils is basically an amalgamated slash made-up word that combines reboots, sequels, spin-offs, and any other word that's used to describe the extension of the life of a franchise. When a reboot is a good thing, it's usually pretty awesome, but when it's bad, it ends up pretty terrible.
Welcome to Podcast Radio Channel 5000, the podcast that's a complete mashup of useless information. Was that too soon for the reboot?
You know what? I'm going to go with it. We'll call this a case of the Spider-Mans and say it was all good.
I like it. That's good. On tap, there are 32 rumored remakes in development in Hollywood right now in the collective consciousness. It's way too many, including a Fantastic Four remake that's shy of 10 years old. Like, the first Fantastic Four came out in 2005. Pretty quick, no?
Very quick. And you know what? Some people will argue that the only reason it's happening is because not Chris Hemsworth. What's the guy? The name who played Captain America. It's completely so
Chris
right
Evans?
Now. Chris Evans, thank you. Yeah. He was the Human Torch in the original Fantastic Four. So people are like, oh, well, you can't be both characters. And I say, why not?
Is that really that big of a deal?
No, they could have replaced the Human Torch and just moved on with it.
I don't even think that him being like those movies were such a blip on the radar when it comes to superhero movies. I don't even think anybody cares.
I don't know, Jessica Alba. She's never a blip in my books.
It's a pretty interesting thing to see, though, isn't it? Like seeing an actor play two superheroes in the span of like 10 years.
You know what? It's pretty cool, and it's also kind of inspiring. Like, if I want to be anybody, it's a superhero. If I want to be anybody else, it's two superheroes.
Two superheroes. Excellent. Well, you could always be half a superhero like Iceman and his twin, which I don't really think they played the same character, but I just had to say it.
What about Ice Master? That dude, you know what? Future timeline, whatever.
That's great. Thank you for bringing up our geek level so high. number one in Rebootquils, let's talk about remakes or reboots. I think it's fair to call them one and the same. It's all been done. Wherein we live in a culture where most ideas have already been had, I think we're seeing that now with movies. A lot of people say that there's only essentially one or two stories to be written in all of fiction, and we're just swapping out names and characters and locations. Is that true with our movies today?
That's a terribly tragic way to think, that all ideas are gone. I think that's the biggest lie a person could ever believe or tell someone else, that there's no great ideas out there left to be had. But Hollywood, on the other hand, seems to disagree. Hollywood. I put an extra h in there because it's...
Don't make an acidic joke. Don't do it.
I won't.
Good.
What really schmears me... I had to. All right, okay. But seriously, what Hollywood does these days that bothers me is rather than take a risk on a new creative venture, they've got so much data from these past films that they're like, you know what? Let's just make a template of what we know already works, and then to make more money, we'll take that, insert better special effects, more explosions, and we'll make more money. So we see these terribly lame movies.
Special effects.
But I mean, come on, who are you, Michael Bay? Get out of here.
You go to your corner, Michael Bay, and you sit there and you think about what you did.
And then, like 10 seconds later, the corner, giant fireball. Michael Bay turns away, walks away without looking.
Never looked at a corner in slow motion before.
That's the sound effect. I don't know why. But yeah, these movies are so unoriginal that we have entire franchises based off repeating the same story these days. And by that, I'm talking, first of all, the worst offender of them all, the Hangover movies. Three movies, the same movie, and in the first two, an identical plot. Identical. Mm. And yet, all three of them, relatively successful as far as the box office is concerned, millions of dollars. Who
it's
paid
interesting
to watch all three of them?
It's interesting that you say that, though, because they, like, there was a lot of backlash on the third Hangover movie saying that it was very different. So your perspective, I think, is different than at least 50% of the people's.
You know what? I'll give you that. It's possible that my opinion is a little over-entitled in this, but it bothers me that we see this so often.
Branding, marketing, and advertising are such a big part of our culture nowadays. I mean, they're trying to get, you know, you need your YouTube, all your social media, you need your website, you need your billboards. Do you think that brand recognition has anything to do with remakes? Like, if you ask me, even people like Pixar, who have been applauded for their original content are now jumping on this bandwagon, i.e. Cars and Planes and sequels that are in development, because brand recognition seems to be a more important thing in the theater just as much as it does on your Coke, you know, cup that you get in the theater now.
See, and I'm going to agree with you on this, because franchising makes so much money. I mean, you yourself, obviously you're pretty involved with advertising in general, and you know what spreading the word about an established product does. It just, it goes like wildfire. Sure. As opposed to how much harder is it to spread the word about an unknown product? Mm-hmm. Like, in your honest opinion, how much harder would it be? Like, is it incrementally? Is it massively?
There's something to be said about creating a branding suite from the ground floor. That being my job, you know, I am the head of marketing at a firm. There's something to be said about creating a brand suite from the ground up. And if you know how to use the tools, sometimes that's better than being given a company and having to mold them into something.
That's a really good answer, and it all automatically makes me think of these wildly successful apps that people just develop out of nowhere, with zero concept of anything that's like it before, or, you know, in some cases there's borrowed elements, but it'll come, and then, bam, everybody needs it, because it's just this brand that spreads like wildfire.
Sure.
It's interesting. But anyway, jumping back to our movies here, brands that I immediately think of when it comes to movies are like the slasher films of the 90s, where we didn't see one or two or three sequels. We saw like 48. What do you think is different between stuff like that and what we're seeing now, where it goes X-Men 1, 2, 3, followed by X-Men Reboot 1, 2, 3?
I think that's kind of interesting that you bring that up, because arguably this fad started late 70s, early 80s, right? You had a couple good movies, like if I'm thinking Jason Voorhees, Jason doesn't even show up in the first couple until the last couple minutes of the movie. I mean, you did have some traction with those movies. It was set up. You could do a sequel, no problem, because we just met Jason at the very end of the movie. But yeah, you're right. It seemed like it was a staple of our generation to see 8, 9, 10, 11. And I wonder where those lost steam. I mean, when it comes to, because we're talking sequels now, we're not taking remakes or reboots. But at some point they started losing steam. When Jason went into space, we had a problem, right?
Well, he did kill a guy by freezing him and then shattering him. And I'm just too much of a Mortal Kombat fan to find anything wrong with that.
You know what else I have a problem with is they had the Halloween movie they called H2O. This is a really stupid nitpick, but the H stood for Halloween. So then you just had Halloween 2O.
Well, that's maybe they just wanted to add two oxygen molecules and some kind of chemistry joke. That's
bad branding recognition.
Yeah. Okay, speaking of bad branding recognition, what about the new movies that come out that are essentially just using nothing but the brand recognition of their previous franchises and then starting a whole new one?
I mean, throw me an example.
Rocky, Rambo, Indiana Jones.
Well, how dare you? Rocky Balboa was better than Rocky V, so besides that, I agree with you.
All right, I'll give you that admittedly out of that list, Rocky was probably the better one. But, I mean, Indiana Jones, movie. Rambo.
We had an Indiana Jones movie that was called The Last Crusade in the 90s. And then we had another Indiana Jones movie where he was like, yeah, I know it was called The Last Crusade, but that's just because stuff.
Because, you know, yeah, exactly. This wasn't a crusade. This was a vacation with my son, Shia LaBeouf. Like, come on.
Most of the times, when it comes to reboots, remakes, studios will throw out buzzwords like gritty at a thing, and we're supposed to assume that it's crazy and original, as opposed to something being thrown together in nicer wrapping, which is what 9 times out of 10 it is.
Okay, but what about the opposite, where we take studios that just throw a familiar word at us and then do something completely different? I mean, by that I mean the Transformers movies. It's like, Transformers, so we all went to it. We all went to it, expecting amazing. And all it was for like an hour and a half. Like,
I will throw you this. I went to the first Transformer movie out of curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
I did not like it, and I have not seen the other two.
That's an excellent action. If there's movies that are terrible, people should just not go to them. It will send a message.
Exactly. When it comes to my affiliation with my childhood or my nostalgia or whatever you want to call it, I'm a lot more reserved and I hold a lot more judgment at those movies than I do if you said, hey, there's this movie about robots fight Pacific Rim. Pacific Rim had nothing to do with my childhood. You watch it, you have a good time. It's not the smartest movie, but it's weird. It's this weird gamble that the studios are doing. A, on one hand, you have, we're going to attach this name to it, and that's going to get a whole bunch of people to go out in droves to see it, which is true. But B, I feel like they're always a target for more backlash because it's associated with this childhood affection.
And it becomes so polarizing because of that association. You're either going to love it or absolutely hate it. There's not really an in-between because it is. It's taking these childhood classics and it's just flipping them on edge, and it's awful. I mean, Dukes of Hazzard. I used to watch that reruns as a kid. I mean, by the time, you know, we were kids, that was not still on. But, I mean, and then they come up with the new movie. They take some big names from the time, and, I mean, it was a gamble. People either loved it or hated it. I didn't mind it, but I definitely didn't love it.
Sure. No, that's fair. Remakes dilute the original content. That's the biggest thing that I want to say when it comes to remakes. They make it feel the original cheaper to me because we have an expanded universe that we might not be too happy with. And I wanna bring up Daniel Carlson. He's a writer over at Pajiba.com. He wrote an article called The Real Problem with Remakes, Spinoffs, and Franchises. While I was doing my research, I came across this. And there's a quote I just want to read, Jesse, and I want you to tell me what you think of it. It's kind of the crux of how I feel about it, and he put it in great words. He said, "A movie that remixes or recycles characters and plot, we already know, doesn't have to do that, nor does it want to. It only wants to remind us of something we like and to push us into confusing the memory of our affection with a positive reaction to the new movie."
That is well wrote. Absolutely.
I think so too. Yeah.
And you know what? That definitely there is a big nugget of truth in that. If anything, that is the core of why we see Wolverine franchises take off. I mean, what does Wolverine's character have historically to offer us in any way besides the fact that he was the coolest dude in the X-Men comics when you were a kid?
Yeah, claws.
Yep, exactly. Sharp, heel stuff. It was wicked. And now, what, four films in? Two more planned? Like.
And how often do you go into a movie or you hear people go into a movie and they watch it, they come out, they were like, oh, that was amazing, right? And then within 24 hours, it's not even in your consciousness anymore. However, there are other movies you go see and it's a slow burn. I was good. And you're thinking about it. And then all of a sudden, 2 years later, it's one of your favorite movies, you know?
Give me an example of your slow burn movie.
I should be better at this. I saw Dallas Buyers Club this year, and it definitely had me thinking and engaged and in conversation, a lot more than say, a movie with a lot of spectacle, that I went into and I went, oh, that was amazing. You know what? Okay. Here, I'm going to throw this out. Is the Dark Knight Rises.
Okay.
When I first saw that movie, I walked out and I was like, that was a great end to the trilogy. I really enjoyed that. It was super stellar, but it's probably dropped 25%. In my head since I've seen
your opinion of the movie has dropped.
Yeah, it's lowered. It's lowered because the spectacle of the movie and processing and everything, it was exciting in the theater. People were pumped. It was a movie we all wanted to see for a long time.
Yep.
And it's definitely dropped in my perceptions over the last, 2 years since it's been out.
Now, question. Before you went and watched the third one, did you watch the first two?
Yes.
So is it possible that, like, you were already super amped from the success of the first two ones and you're just excited to see how the following closes it, and then lo and behold you go and you're super excited because you're still in the mood, and then turns out it wasn't that great?
I don't think so. I mean, I watched the first two over the span of a week. It wasn't the same day. Yeah. And the other thing is, Mr. Josh Ingram has very low movie expectations. I have been disappointed a billion times and I refuse to be excited about much of anything.
We've all been disappointed.
Ninja Turtle movies? This Ninja Turtle movie? I don't want to talk about it because I don't want to talk about it.
Megan Fox as April O'Neil? Come on. Come on.
It's the worst idea in history. I mean, what I'm excited to see, there are two things. I'm excited to see the design of the turtles because I've seen some concept art and I think it's great.
The ninja look as opposed to the pretty cartoon strings. Yeah.
And I think it's great. And I'm excited to see, listen to Will Arnett because he's the voice of one of the turtles. I can't remember which.
I'm going to guess Raphael.
I'm pretty sure it's not.
That's fair.
So, I don't know though. That is just a speculative guess. So
we're gonna see like Will Ferrell as Splinter, surprise casting. Will.
That'd be amazing. I'd be fine with that. Will Ferrell can do mostly
Speaking
anything.
Speaking of okay Will Ferrell doing mostly anything, anyways, sequels or reboots that only have a big celebrity attached to them but are terrible otherwise.
Hmm.
Your thoughts?
You throw out a couple examples for me.
Okay, and I hate to hurt Will Ferrell like this, but Anchorman 2.
How dare you?
Anchorman 2. I'm doing it. And I worship the first Anchorman movie. I want nothing more in this life now to have an office that smells like mahogany with leather-bound books. That is all I want. Rich mahogany.
On the other hand, Tropic Thunder.
Okay.
It's got some great celebrity cameos.
Yes.
You got your Tom Cruise, who is phenomenally hilarious.
Is that movie a reboot, Quill, though?
No, it's not. Okay. No, touche. I was going off topic.
Now, I'm also going to go as far, and this one, I mean, people may not agree, and I'm fine with that, but I'm also going to go as far as to say movies like The Grinch with Jim Carrey. I'm not saying it was a bad movie, but I'm not saying it was great either, and they kind of really moved it on the premise of it being Jim Carrey who was The Grinch, you know?
Yeah, and I think he was great, but I don't think the movie was great.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Food for thought.
Forethought. Okay. The biggest problem with remakes, Hollywood thinks that if there's a good concept, if it was originally a good concept, then it'll simply port into a new generation. The idea of good acting is out the window. I mean, they were talking about passing the baton with a new Ghostbusters movie, and I'm thinking, too soon, R.I.P. Harold Ramis, but you know what else made that movie great? Amazing casting choices. Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd, and those all filled the shoes, and it was great. It was a good collaborative effort. Now, here's an example, and I don't know where I heard this on the internets, you know what? It might have been for the fan audio commentary Ghostbusters 2 done by Red Letter Media.
Mm-hmm.
They were talking that Sigourney Weaver
Oddly specific, may or may not have been, but go on.
You're welcome. She was the lead female in both those movies. You know how old she was when Ghostbusters 2 was made?
How old?
39 years old.
No way.
You tell me Hollywood today is going to cast a 39-year-old in an action and adventure comedy?
Comedy. No, you throw the word comedy in there.
Besides Elizabeth Banks, Amy Poehler, and Tina Fey, you'd be hard-pressed to find one of those, an actress they would cast. A Megan Fox. Cast a whole cast of Bill Murray was in his 40s when the first one was done.
And this one would be starring Channing Tatum and Johnny Depp at best.
Exactly. But I will say the idea of age is different in Hollywood, because you look at John Hamm, he's in his 40s. You know, that doesn't mean it's unreasonable that they might cast him. I'll give them that. But that being said, everybody's cast young. They're looking for the cash grab. That's what remakes are. So they're going to be casting the young, hot man, woman in these roles.
In today's day and age, the person with the biggest, essentially, like, media following, which basically correlates directly to Twitter and, you know, all the attention span deriving things of the teenagers just below us, and bam, you get basically the pretty people to look at.
Studios have no faith in concept.
Yeah.
That's where I'm going with this. The concept, the original materials, they don't have any faith in them anymore. But maybe that's fair.
I think in a lot of ways we've kind of given them evidence that they should just follow through with this. Like I said, we just keep going to these movies and they just keep doing so well in the box office, regardless of how terrible they are. But they do get it right sometimes. I mean, there are some reboot quills that are actually deservedly made, or, you know, in some cases, I know you said originally that it often cheapens the content of the original film, but what about a movie like the Mr. Deeds reboot? That was actually a pretty good movie on its own, and the original Mr. Deeds was very true to the same character as this new one, and this movie almost brought attention back to it, seeing as how old it was.
I can't believe you're bringing up Mr. Deeds.
They were both good movies. I like them.
Fair enough. I guess most of the time I'm contemplating serious content.
Okay, all right. Let's go ahead with Star Trek. Good reboots, good original film.
Yeah, I like the first Star Trek. Again, you're looking at an action movie. If you want to ask me about a good Star Trek reboot or rebootquel, I would tell you The Next Generation was a good Star Trek rebootquel. The Star Trek 2009 movie was a great action movie. There wasn't any. Star Trek is all about political issues and social issues and if you ask me, the new Star Trek movie watered it down to I'm gonna go find this guy with the pointy ears and I'm gonna shoot him.
Okay, that's fair.
Where's the social commentary in those movies? They don't exist anymore.
Where's the Shatner overacting? That's what I wanted.
Well, if you watched First Contact, which is arguably the most action-y movie of all the Star Trek movies before the 2009 rebootquel came around, mm-hmm. Which arguably spawned that title, the rebootquel, because there's no way to call that anything else because it's still in canon. It's not exactly a reboot. It's not a sequel. By the way,
my favorite part of it is exactly what you just said.
Yeah, that is my favorite part of it too, actually. That is my favorite part of that whole movie. But all I was going to say is First Contact is the most action-y movie, if you ask me, out of all the original in canon, in non-parallel universe movies, I guess, everything before 2009 and Into Darkness. Mm-hmm. And that was about Ahab and his whale. It was about conformity. It was about technology overrunning our ability to process content by ourselves and not the need for a mass hive mind. And it was extremely successful. It was very well done, if you ask me. So as much as I do enjoy the new Star Trek movies, don't get me wrong, I saw them both in theaters. I've seen them both multiple times. I like 2009 a little bit better than In Darkness. I still think there's a watering down of what Star Trek was about.
It seems like a lot.
And you don't know anything about Star Trek, so...
I know enough. I actually I actually brushed up on them since last time we did a podcast, just because I had admitted not to seeing them. So have to watch Final Frontier, but I'm catching up.
Yeah. Good for you. Did you watch Wrath of Khan?
I actually am saving that for absolute last.
It's good.
I want to watch Into Darkness and then watch Wrath of Khan, because apparently there's like a million parallels, so I'm excited.
Oh, that's going to be weird to watch it in that order.
I know. I mean, obviously, I know the con, but anyway.
What?
moving on. Yeah, you know, I completely lost my point. I immediately just cut to, like, you know, the stock footage of Shatner just yelling con. That's all that took over my brain right there.
You're chit-chatting about good rebootquels.
Good rebootquels. There are many. What about saying that... like I said earlier, we're kind of partly responsible for these things, right? These terrible mm-hmm. movies. And I also mentioned briefly on the Twitter, what about the effect these movies are having on our collective attention spans? Like, it seems like we're getting more and more ready to just forget the entire trilogy or saga or whatever that was there previously and go and watch these new ones and start accepting them as canon. And by that specifically, I want to reference the Batman movies. We're so eager to move on into this new universe, and we're just like immediately like, oh yeah, this is what's up now, and we're willing to take that as default rather than what we know from the previous ones.
I mean, sure, who's watching Tim Burton's Batman anymore?
Nobody. Everybody wants to watch The Dark Knight.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Although Tim Burton's Batman, pretty rad. If you haven't seen it in a little while, listener, go watch it again. It deserves it.
Pretty good. Pretty good stuff there. But it's true, this immediate retooling of Batman. Immediate. Right? With Ben Affleck and et cetera and so forth.
I still can't say it. I can't say it.
Oh, I think it's a great idea. I think it's a great idea.
I like that his response to it was that saying that the idea of Batman is that anybody can be him and it's about being a symbol. I have to mm-hmm. admire that. That's perfectly summed up, and it sounds like something a true Batman fan would say, which we have to assume he is at least a little bit based on who his friends are.
Absolutely, absolutely. But I gotta say, the idea that you're saying that him saying that is a good idea, you're like, oh, you know what? He must have watched at least one of Nolan's movies.
But we know that that's not true. I mean, how loosely or tightly affiliated do you want to put him with being the fat man on Batman? Like, he knows that guy pretty well.
That's true.
It's got to rub off on him at least a little bit.
Why aren't we all listening to Fat Man on Batman?
I don't know. Yeah. Kevin Smith is a god.
When it comes to that podcast, It's amazing. I think that podcast is tops. Streets Ahead, even.
Streets Ahead. Oh, there's a catchphrase. Reboot Quills, let's mention briefly Community. Not technically going through a reboot quill, but it's the only example I've ever seen in my life of a franchise or series basically half rebooting itself midway through without any kind of cancellation, interruption, or title change.
No, that's completely fair. Did you even know that the first episode of this season was called Repilot?
I actually noticed that only because I watch all my things online. Sorry, TV subscribers. But I thought it was really, really well played. It's true. Like, the cast is not all that different. There's two, you know, substitutions. But the feel of the whole show is just 100% different from what it was the season before.
Yeah, that's arguable, but I think that's a fair interpretation. Yeah, Community is very interesting. I mean, there are movies that have done minor differences, recasting, you know, Rachel Dawes in the Batman movies, things like that, where they've made minor alterations. But yeah, Community is a very interesting enigma in and of itself, for sure.
Peter Sarsgaard's wife, Maggie Gyllenhaal. Sarsgaard.
Oh. Sure. Well, and she doesn't have much better of a name either, Jill and...
I don't know. Whatever her name is, she blew up. That's all we need to know.
That's true.
Great way to tie up a loose end, by the way. Just anyway, moving on. So, we've talked a little bit about bad ones. We've talked a little about good ones. What about ones that are coming up that are kind of wanted versus ones that are coming up that are not wanted at all?
Okay, well, let me start with one that just recently came out. Can I do that? Is that fair?
Do it.
I was really trying not to be excited about this new RoboCop movie. Spoilers, because that's still kind of fresh, so I'll throw out the obligatory spoilers.
Run now.
I really like RoboCop, and that was a hard one not to be excited for. But what are all these... What's up with all these pointless updates to stories or aesthetics? Like RoboCop suit. Have you seen the movie?
I've seen the new suit.
You've seen the new suit.
I agree. It's just so over the top from what the old one was.
At the beginning, we get to see Murphy in the silver suit.
Do we still get to see him blown away for like 3 solid minutes?
You know what the problem with him being blown away in the new movie is?
Hmm.
Is that...
This is a serious issue with you. I like it. Go on. Oh, it cuts you deep, doesn't it?
He gets blown to smithereens. His hand gets blown off. We get to see all these things, and then RoboCop, the new RoboCop is, can you guess what it's rated?
R. PG.
PG-13. Like, every gritty 80s movie is being changed into these PG-13 movies, and I don't understand. And the thing about this new freak, we got to see the old suit.
Mm-hmm.
Then we got to see him in a silver version of the new suit. And then we got to see him in the black suit. Why is it that all these reboot-quels are giving us this shot of great fan service and then taking it away from us?
I don't see the point. They're almost making a joke at us. They're almost mocking us. Like, hey, here's what you wanted to see. Oh, too bad. And then they take it away from us immediately. Like you said, it's...
I think it's
them trying to appease that sense of nostalgia that we're going into these movies with. You know what I mean? They know that we have these expectations, so if they don't at least show it to us, they know it's going to be a complete flop. But now we're all going to walk out of it going, well, at least we got to see it.
The deal is for Josh Ingram,
mm-hmm.
for me specifically as a fan, and if I'm going to have to watch these reboots, which, by the way, 99% of the time I don't feed the Hollywood system for and watch them later.
I'm with you on that one, buddy.
Through completely legal ways.
We do not condone or endorse pirating here at BRC5. We do, however, think it's pretty badass.
Amen. So you need to either commit or friggin' drop it. I mean, like, the Enterprise was in the reboots.
Mm-hmm.
It was built on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? Never happened in the old movies. It looked more like a hot rod. It had fewer decks. Supposed to be smaller size. Guess what? It's fine. Didn't change. It was a great shot. That shot of like friggin' Chris Pine.
Pine, yeah.
Looking into the Enterprise being built while he's on his motorcycle. That was cool. I was fine with it. A great shot. But if they were like, here's the Enterprise and Now here's what it looks like halfway through the movie, and it's different but the same. Like, commit. Either give me the old RoboCop suit, or just don't show it to me at all. What's the point?
I will give you that, but what about instances where they give it to us for just a little bit and take it away? And by that, I want to go to Iron Man 2, when for all of, like, maybe a minute and 15 seconds, we get to see the briefcase Iron Man suit from the cartoon that we all watched as a kid.
Oh, that was great.
It was awesome. And then they took it away from us, and we never saw it again for the rest of the franchise.
But there was no conceit in that. It served a lucrative tool.
It did.
And then it evolved he found a solution for the third one? Why? I thought it was great in Iron Man 2.
It was. It was good. I want to see more of it.
Yeah, I guess so. But if he's got 170 marks and we're trying to see 20 even in the span of 4 to 6 films, I mean, it's not that easy.
Two chairs. I cannot top that point.
Dishes. Yeah, thank you. I know I'm right. Oh, speaking of which, remakes, can we go from comic adaptation to film adaptation?
Of what?
I think that Marvel's doing great.
Yes.
But you know what they forgot about?
What did they forget about?
Tony's drinking spell, which I did too, apparently.
Demon in a bottle?
Yeah, absolutely.
Are we going to see that as a movie? Is that what you're telling me right now?
No, absolutely not. What I'm telling you is they're not going to take... Iron Man right now is arguably, until the Star Wars movies come out, is arguably the most popular character that Disney has in its belt. Right. I would argue that. I would very much argue that. That's why he's making $50 million or $50 billion a movie. I don't know exactly what it is, but he's making a lot of cash.
I doubt it's $50
billion. I doubt it too. But anyway, all I was going to say is that whole anxiety thing in Iron Man 2, just take it away. Don't give me anxiety. Don't give me he's not drinking. Just take that plot. Don't use that plot line.
That's fair.
Yeah. That was a watered-down version. They gave us that instead of his drinking plotline. I'm almost positive.
You know what? Another element on Iron Man that I'm disappointed about, as a franchise that also really reflects on this whole reboot quills thing pretty
You're
well.
A franchise.
I know I am. Okay, what? The ending to Iron Man 3. He blows up all of his suits, and Pepper Potts has this new ridiculous version of the Extremis virus. Why do that if you think that you're probably going to keep the character going in the Avengers movies? Or if you're going to keep the character going in all this other stuff like that? If you're prepared for even the slight possibility of there being an Iron Man 4 or an Iron Man 5 or whatever, why do you end it like that? That almost demands that if you don't come up with a good enough script for the next one, you have to reboot the franchise.
Yeah, but we obviously know that Marvel has a plan. And more importantly, we know they had a plan from the inception and the finishing of Iron Man 3. It said Tony Stark will return.
Yes, but it might not potentially be Robert Downey Jr.
No, he's signed for 2 more Avengers movies.
2 more Avengers, yes, but not more Iron Man movies.
No, there's no more Iron Man movies, but Tony Stark's going to be Iron Man.
Mm-hmm.
In the Avengers, but he is. Like, that, I don't even think speculation needs to be done. I will tell you this, if you are a longtime PRC5 listener, and you follow us all the way until the last Avengers movie, and Tony Stark / RDJ's contract is up, you know how it's going to end. I'm throwing this on the table right now. Somebody, Pepper, somebody, is going to die in the last movie that Robert Downey Jr. is assigned to, which looks like it's Avengers 3. He's finished the Iron Man trilogy. He's going to finish the Avengers first trilogy.
So you think you think Iron Man's going to die at the end of the Avengers movies? Is that what you're telling
me?
No,
somebody's going to die.
Somebody.
Iron Man is going to be, Tony Stark is going to be put right to the limit.
Uh-huh.
And he's going to have some sort of psychotic episode. He's going to have some sort of break. Mm-hmm. Maybe they will do Pepper dying, and that just puts him into a tailspin. He's going to sacrifice himself for the Avengers.
Okay.
That's how they're going to get rid of... That's how they're going to either introduce a new Iron Man, or they're going to get rid of Robert Downey Jr.'s character.
Do you know what I think they're going to do to get rid of Robert Downey Jr.'s character? Because I think it's so perfectly Marvel and kind of Joss Whedon at the same time. You know how many alternate timeline Iron Mans have shown up to replace the regular Iron Man in the Marvel Comics universe?
I'm going to go with a handful.
A handful. A healthy 4.
A healthy 4.
Alternate timeline Iron Mans. I would not at all be surprised if we didn't see a timeline-based event for the last Avengers movie, which arguably they haven't dabbled in until this new upcoming X-Men movie comes out. But we know that they're committed to doing these... timeline movies, because the next one is going to be Apocalypse related.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be surprised at all if we didn't see an alternate version of Iron Man take over, and we see Robert Downey Jr. essentially interacting with this current one in the future as like a hollow version of himself, which he's done in the comic books.
That's good. I like that. I also wouldn't be surprised. I hear they're trying to get Doctor Strange to become the next big
trilogy
Marvel
guy.
Character.
I could see it. I mean, he's an interesting character. We know people like cranky doctors. We've seen House do really well. We've seen Scrubs do really well. People like cranky doctors.
I'm sorry, Scrubs?
Scrubs.
Is that a thing?
It's a big thing. Speaking of reboot quills, what about things that tried to reboot themselves and flopped at it? And by that, of course, Scrubs, the last season, season 9, tried to go on to Scrubs Med School. That's right.
Scrubs Med School. I wonder where the big failing of that was. Is it just the fact that we didn't have our Tyrk-JD relationship anymore?
You know what? I'm going to say that's at least partially responsible for it. Because if we just... It was such a staple of every episode. We wanted to see them together. We still want to see them together. You know what I want to walk into at any point in time? Them two doing something together.
Well, even in season 8, when they signed the contracts, when they were downsizing pricing, and JD wasn't in 6 episodes, and Tyrk wasn't in 6 episodes, and things like that... When they were missing, like, they tried to make some, like, artificial them being there. Like, the episode where JD's on the phone the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was a great idea. I thought one of my favorite Tyrk moments when he gets the pudding that looks like a tiger on his scrubs. And he's running around being like, where are you, friend? And he's not there that day. I thought that was hilarious. But that being said, there was still something shy of the show. And I would agree with you. I'd also agree that 20% of it was Lisa, Leslie, Lily,
Denise.
Lilac. No, Denise was great. I'm thinking of the new narrator.
Oh, in season. Lucy.
Lucy, yeah. She didn't push my buttons either.
Yeah. You know what? She did an okay job at, like, basically being the new JD, but we didn't want to see new JD. We wanted either old JD or somebody new altogether.
Mm-hmm.
And it just
well, yeah, and her neuroses weren't season 1 JD as they evolved. Her neuroses were full-on season 6, 7 JD.
With, like, a touch of season 6, 7 Elliot. Like, they were just trying to remind us of the good stuff that we lost.
That's interesting, yeah.
Rather than giving us a new character. And they were, like, trying to cling to that same nostalgia that some of these reboot quills are doing.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I think maybe that'd be a good opportunity to move in and talk about our sequels for a little while.
All right.
Sequels and reboot quills, because we've kind of hung on the remakes for quite a long time.
It's just such a big deal. Stop doing it, Hollywood.
I'm sorry. Do you have any concept of where the inception of the sequel came from?
You know, I have no idea, but also I'm going to take your previous sentence as saying that you're okay with the nickname Hollywood. Go on.
Thank you. I have a couple ideas.
Hollywood.
In 19... All right, let's do this. Right. J Paperclip.
Paperclip.
No, I reserve the right to call it either or, depending on my mood.
J. Paperclip in Hollywood? Oh, man. We would make awesome superheroes.
Leg man in the wheels. In 1931, Bela Lugosi's Dracula was filmed.
Good.
They filmed during the day. And during the night, a Spanish team starring Carlos Villarias would use the stage. And they filmed their own version of this exact same movie on the exact same sets.
Interesting.
Now, wherein Bela Lugosi's film was directed very static, very quick, you know, Hollywood back in the 30s, it was all about production, right? Mm-hmm. It was quick, it was fast, it was done. The Spanish version took way more liberties, and they were doing different angles, they were doing different things all night long. It was amazing. Now, I would recommend that if you can find the Dracula collection, you go out and you would watch these things, like, back to back. It is just crazy.
Say it again, the title and the actors that people can be looking for.
Okay, you're looking for a yawn. You're looking for the Dracula collection. It'll say Bela Lugosi right on the cover.
Of course.
It's a green, black DVD case with multiple incarnations, including the Hammer Horror, Dracula's, things like that. Christopher Lee's in there. It is a great series. I picked mine up at a pawn shop for dollars.
Don't
and I picked up another copy at a local CD store that's not around for very cheap as well.
Very nice. I also often buy things for dollars. Yeah, okay. Now, speaking of, I mean, sort of in the same vein as that, I mean, that's a really awesome, I had no idea, and that's actually a really awesome story.
It's extremely neat. You can see the exact same sets being filmed in two very different styles.
I'm actually really excited to go watch these back to back now. I think that's going to be incredible.
You can borrows.
I wills borrows.
Goods.
Now, let's go a little bit sort of sequel, sort of reboot cool. We're going to go with the hybrid resequel boot.
Good. I wish we titled the episode that. Right
me
there.
Too. Reboot Quill 2 Electro Boogaloo. That's what we're going to go
with.
Oh,
nice.
Jurassic World.
Reboot Quill 2 even harder.
Ooh, nice.
Thank you. Carry on. Sorry.
Reboot Quill 2 spelled 2-0-0 with a comma after the word Reboot Quill and an exclamation mark after the word 2.
Good.
Yes. Anyway, Jurassic World.
Jurassic World's interesting because the first thing I thought when you said that was Die Hard.
Yes,
but
a good one.
No, it doesn't count. Like, Die Hard is following the succinct amount of people. Mm-hmm. You know, the same story, John McClane, et cetera, so forth. It's arguable. Like, we don't know. Chris Pratt has been cast in it. But we don't know if we're going to see any of the old familiars show up.
Now, but if it's the same premise and following a storyline that's not necessarily defined as the different one, do we consider it as a sequel or a reboot? Especially given that there's potentially no returning cast. Potentially.
That's a great question. We just don't know. It'll have to be determined when we get there.
Indeed.
I wonder why there's such a lean on sequels, like X amount of years after. Do you know when Jurassic Park 3 came out?
After the Jurassic Park 2, there's got to be at least a 10-year gap there.
Between 2 and 3?
Yeah.
And then another 10-year gap between 3 and 4? Or 3 and Jurassic World?
Yeah, I guess that's true, eh? It's going to be closer on 12 years at this point, isn't it?
That's what I'm thinking. It's got to be long. There's such a lean on sequels. They're trying, like, the studios are trying to harvest from those who have nostalgia as well as a new market. It's weird. It's probably because the film market can't sustain itself on just one demographic anymore. So do you think they're trying to crib from us and our kids?
In a way, yes. In a way, I feel like they're just not brave enough, like you said, to try a new concept. They know that people want to see a dinosaur movie. But rather than try something new, something different, they're just like, you know what, let's just make another Jurassic Park. They seem to like that.
Right. It's arguable that this isn't a new concept. I mean, in the last 20 years, you said it yourself, we've seen sequels to Star Wars, Star Trek, Indiana Jones. It's weird because these heroes and universes are old. Like, I like the idea that they're casting Chris Pratt. I guess I'm being contrary to what I said earlier about casting young, but there's some sort of sullying to see, like, if we saw the old Doctor and the old crew and, you know, Goldblum suiting up for this movie. Oh, it'd be man. Like, you guys are old. I mean, you guys are...
Yeah, Attenborough's practically on his deathbed. I mean, that's...
You're sullying this, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like...
I think it's arguable that he has passed, actually.
You know what? I'll give you... I hate to say it, I'm not on the up and up, and I should. Attenborough's a very talented individual, director and actor. But I have to agree with that solely on the point that I don't want to see I'm not going to say a weak, because I feel like that's insulting, but a less dangerous looking Han Solo. You know? Like, Harrison Ford, he's getting up there. Is he still going to be that imposing, sort of cocky, arrogant, dangerous man with a gun mercenary that he was before? Not really. What is the new Han Solo going to be? That fills me with dread rather than excitement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's completely fair. Yeah. I'd like to say, like, the idea of the sequel, it's something that really kind of interests me. I mean, a sequel that's better than anything I've ever seen before, if you ask me, would be Godfather Part II. That's a sequel that I would say exceeded the original. Do we have any sequels that we feel like exceeded the originals?
Sequels that exceeded the originals. Mm-hmm. That's a good one. I have sequels that, you know, get terribly worse, but I mean, who doesn't, right? Every sequel seems to get terribly worse. What about Dragon Ball Z as a sequel to the series Dragon Ball? Realize it's not a movie whatsoever, but I mean, kind of a sequel, and it was way better.
No, that's fair. I like that. I agree.
Oh, I got a movie. Speaking of super powerful dudes flexing for half the time, what about the second Hulk movie versus the first Hulk movie? And by that I mean The Incredible Hulk starring Edward Norton versus The Hulk starring Eric Bana.
But then again, that's not... Is that a sequel?
Well, I guess that's true. It was a really immediate reboot within like 5-year span.
Mm-hmm.
It's terrible. Okay, you know what? Maybe I don't have any sequels whatsoever. Do you have any? Do you have any sequels that are better than the original?
Empire.
Okay, touche.
Possibly. That's another thing, Star Wars, when it comes to sequels. I think that's kind of, like, that's another example. We saw the prequels, but even more on top of that, the original theatric release of Star Wars just said Star Wars in the opening crawl. It wasn't until after the home movie release that it changed to Star Wars A New Hope.
And that's when they really incorporated the trilogy element into it all.
Exactly. You know what else is really interesting when you think about these movies is Back to the Future. You know what I'm talking about?
No, elaborate, please.
At the end of the movie, everything's solved. They get back home. Marty sees his family, his girlfriend, his new truck. Doc Brown comes flying in. He's got Mr. Fusion. He's dumping all this stuff into the back of Mr. Fusion, all the compost. He goes, we have to go to the future. There's a problem. Oh, there's a problem? What's the problem? Oh, it's not with you. It's with your kids, right? We don't have enough road to get to 88 miles per hour. We're going, we don't need roads. Let's go. Okay, let's go. And then the DeLorean flies up. It goes around. It flies towards the screen. It flashes. And do you know what it says? To be continued.
To be continued. Now, did they do that purposely, or was it just meant to be left open-ended?
It was a joke. Robert Zemeckis and Robert, the other Robert, who I can't remember right now. Robert not Zemeckis believed that it'd just be funny. It'd just be funny. In fact, it took 4 to 5 years for those next two sequels to come out. And they were filmed back-to-back 6-month installments.
The more you know.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're welcome.
Thank you. My brain feels swollen with knowledge from your mind hole. What about... Now, this is kind of... It's going the opposite way. What about movies that have had sequels that you wish would just stop with the sequels and reboot already?
Like...
I'm going to go with, well, actually, I have the opposite, first of all, comes to mind. Stop making new Nightmare on Elm Street movies. It's not going to happen. The first one's good, new one's done. I'm going to go with the Die Hard movies. There's been too many. If you're going to keep going with the concept of this, you know, guy fights against the entire world, let's see, maybe introduce a new permanent character, maybe try doing something beyond, maybe try something, a new direction with this franchise. We're going to keep it going. If not, reboot the thing. We can only see John McClane get progressively older and do the same thing so many times.
No, that's fair. Anything else?
Reboots that are actually good? Godzilla.
Which one?
The new one.
And with have that, you seen
I,
it?
No, not yet. But what I mean by good is a sense that we needed them. We wanted them. Good to see them coming.
You're saying that now, but that's what everyone was saying back in 2000.
About the other Godzilla, yeah. That's a really good point. And you know what? You just reminded me how excited I was at that one, and now I feel foolish for being this excited.
I'm just saying, be careful. You know, there's rumors that they have a Matrix sequel or prequel now in development?
Oh, God, no. Not more. Please tell me Keanu's not attached.
He is, but wouldn't that solve your problem, though? You just said movies that we wish they wouldn't make more of, and they just reboot already.
Well, I would rather just see... If you're going to take The Matrix and do anything else with it besides take it out back and shoot it, do a different version. Do a reboot. This time everyone's an insane asylum patient, so it's on a smaller scale or something. I don't even know. But to take that same... I mean, you know what? Part of it, I guess, is the mileage that The Matrix trilogy got. How many parodies were out there? How many jokes were out there? How many spoofs were out there? How many celebrities did, you know, hilarious renditions of this, that, and the other thing? Like... We're done with The Matrix. Let's move on from it. It's no more. No more.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Hollywood is closing its doors on original ideas. That's why we have so many people saying that stories live on TV, and that's arguably true. It seems to be where drama is. Would you agree with that? Do you think that movies are now just for spectacle events?
I have to say, yeah. I mean, they're not really meant to be lasting anymore. They're meant to grab our attention, excite us enough to spend $20, and then be gone.
Yeah, that's fair. But something I would say about this concept of drama living on TV, there's something true about that, but I also think that we're starting to leave this new age of TV. Like, the golden age is dying, and now we're being served leftovers, removing the Silver Age or something. I don't
what
know exactly
what qualities
how to describe
would you say
it.
We're losing from the Golden Age?
Well, I think that's interesting that you say that, because I don't have any quantitative qualities, but I do have an example that I'm thinking of.
Please.
There's a television show in pre-production right now called Better Call Saul. Have you heard of this at all?
Yeah, the spin-off to Breaking Bad.
The prequel to Breaking Bad,
the
that's
prequel.
Right.
The prequel.
That's right. At first, I like, there's part of me that's interested in this project, sure.
It's an interesting character.
Yeah, I agree. But then I heard that they were going to be bringing in characters like Mike, back.
I see.
And I thought that makes sense because he came into the Breaking Bad world by way of Saul.
Mm-hmm.
But that being said, he's a little old, so that's one of my big problems with like flashback episodes or like prequel episodes. Like they're prequels, they're fun, but my suspension of disbelief does not go far for people who look outdated or older in the prequel or in the flashbacks.
My suspension of disbelief halts immediately when I hear the word prequel. I'm just like, no, this is already going to be terrible. Because there's Fair so enough. Much established canon that they have to adhere to, that we know is going to happen, and they're mm-hmm. voluntarily saying everything that happened there is true. And they're putting yeah. themselves up on this chopping block to be executed as soon as they stop following the precedent that they already set, and yet they swear that they're clinging to. Prequels are just a bad idea. I hate them.
Well, that's something that irked me wrong this way, or with this Better Call Saul, because they've been talking about bringing in Jesse, main actor, to come in. Yeah, Aaron Paul to be part of the world.
Good.
I don't care if it's a one episode cameo, even though he doesn't look the way he did when he started on the show.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea of arguably one of the best dramas ever made being sullied by this is really infuriating to me.
See, would you be less infuriated? I think I did that right. Infuriated.
Yeah, you nailed it.
Yeah,
nailed
all right. It. Would you be less upset? Take two, I like it. We'll call that a reboot of that sentence. Would you be nice. Less upset if it had been a spin-off set after Breaking Bad?
I don't know. I don't know if I would be. I mean, you have these very special pieces of artistic and, you know, creativity that are made only every once in a while. And I think this one would bug me. Like, the idea that they're going to be bringing off, like, a Walking Dead spinoff, yeah, that's cool. That doesn't bother me all that much. But this one, yeah, this one irks me a little bit.
That's fair. I mean, Breaking Bad, arguably one of the best TV shows that have been produced in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Bryan Cranston, an amazing job. And I, you know what, for me at least, the performance that he did came so far to left field. I'd only really seen him as Malcolm in the Middle before this, and now it's like, mm-hmm. holy cow, buddy. And now, of yeah, course, absolutely. We get to see him in the new Godzilla. How awesome is that going to be?
I don't know yet.
You don't know what yet? You didn't know that?
I don't know how great it's going to be yet.
Oh, it's going to be amazing.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Let me just get in my time machine and tell everyone not to worry about Godzilla in 2000. No problem. You know what? I'll hop in my time machine. Better yet, I'll go back. I'll see you in like college and tell you that Transformers is going to work out just fine.
You know what? Transformers, We have the potential for redemption with this new Transformers movie coming out. I'm going to go ahead and say it. We have the potential.
Oh, yeah? Who's the director again?
It's not so much the director that's important.
Wait, is it? It's Michael Bay, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, yeah, it's Michael Bay.
Yeah, but listen.
Yeah.
Potential.
Oh potential.
Potential.
Right.
I'm just saying. I'm not ready to give up on that franchise. I'm just not. It's so close to being actually worthwhile. And I just believe that Michael Bay could stop thinking that explosions are considered plot. Then we would be fine.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I got. I just want I want so bad, Josh. I want so bad for it to be good.
I think on that note, that is the exact feel we have when it comes to reboot calls.
Absolutely.
That might be our exiting note. Jesse, do you have a sign-off for tonight?
Not particularly.
All right, this was a podcast. There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. Footnotes. Richard Attenborough, still alive. That's always good. The other Rob we were talking about in connection with Back to the Future, not Rob at all, Bob Gale. Well, it was Rob, but he likes to go by Bob. Jonathan Banks plays Mike Ehrmantraut in Breaking Bad, as well as that new character on Community, as well as possibly Mike Ehrmantraut on Better Call Saul. Who's Saul? Bob Odenkirk. If you haven't looked at his CV, you should. He's written for The Simpsons, Conan O'Brien, Saturday Night Live, and an amazing character actor.
Our opening song was Jimi Hendrix cover of Bob Dylan's All Along the Watchtower. Our closing song was Bear McCreary's cover of Jimi Hendrix's cover of Bob Dylan's All Along the Watchtower. And there you go, cyclical rebootquels.
Radio podcast channel 5000. Done.